Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So we're talking about worship. All right. This is, if you want a title, this is called Drawing Near Part 2. Last week was Drawing Near Part 1. And this week is what we're going to talk about. Last week, we talked about what is worship. And then this week, we're going to talk about why is worshiping God so important. So I'm just going to review real quick, and I'm going to read James 4, verse 6 through 10. It says this, "But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us, for it says, God resists you when you are proud, but continually pours out grace when you are humble. So surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him." You know, some people think they can't do that, but you can do that. Because you're not standing up in your own power, you're standing up in God's power. The scripture's either right or it's wrong. You know what I mean? We're not going to play around with it. We're not going to pretend. And sometimes, you know, people will be like, well, you know, this part of scripture is for today, but this part is not for today. Look, it's all for today. Okay, it may have been written in different times and in past seasons, but as far as the principles of the Word of God that apply to us on a daily basis, it is for today. God has not changed. The Scripture says, and we talked about it last week, but Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, Jesus is boring. You don't know him. He may not change. Jesus does not evolve with the times. The Bible doesn't evolve with the times. Jesus is just flat steady. You know what I mean? How many of you like people that you know what you're going to get with them? You know what I mean? They're consistent. Now, I'm a superintendent for a company. I like the guys that just show up and I know what I'm going to get. They're going to give it all, their all, and they're going to get it done. Well, you can count on Jesus. One of his names is Faithful. What does that mean? If it's time to show up and work at 6, he's up. He's ready to go at 6, and he's working all day long till he's done. You understand what I'm saying? He's faithful, so you can count on him. And people say, well, how do I know that I can count on him? Listen, he said it. It's proven from his word. He's already proven everything he needs to prove God has in sending Jesus. He's got nothing else to prove? The evidence is so strong about God's love for humanity and the sending of Jesus that there doesn't need to really be anything else. They've been trying to disprove Jesus for years and they still can't. They'll never be able to. You realize, even if they burned all the Bibles on the planet, that somebody would be walking along or digging, or they'd have one of them metal detectors. They'd be looking for treasures from the Civil War or something. And somebody would find a Bible and start reading it. I mean, it'll never happen. God's not going to allow that to happen because he loves us too much. So, but anyway, we can resist the enemy, and God's word is true. It's trustworthy, so we can stand up to the devil in the name of Jesus, of course, not in our own power. And it says, resist him and he will turn and run away from you. That's a good word. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Now, this is the Passion Translation, so it's a little bit different than what you got, but you're going to see something similar. Feel the pain of your sin, be sorrowful and weep. Let your joking around be turned into mourning and your joy into deep humiliation. I don't know about you, but when I found out that the lifestyle that I was living was wrong, I felt bad. Do you know it's okay to feel bad about something that's wrong? That doesn't, you know, people say, and this, I've noticed it through the years, people want to emphasize God's love so much that they don't want anybody to feel bad. Listen, when my kids do something wrong, I want them to feel bad. Why? Because that's them knowing, oh, wait a minute, this is not right. Now, I'm not saying I want them to live under some cloud of heaviness, you know what I mean? Like they need to walk around going, I'm just terrible. I'm not as good as my dad. I'm not, you know what I mean? No, that's not it. But like the other day, we were dealing with my son about something, and I looked at him, I said, buddy, why do you think you feel bad? Now, he's 6. He said, because I lied. That's a good thing for him to know. You know, I did not warp him by teaching him that. I helped him. Not only that, I helped his future wife. Right? I don't know about you, but if the speed limit says 65, I need to obey that. It's so interesting how the world tries to twist. Listen, just go back to the principles of the Bible. They always work. Every single time, they work. It always works. It'll never fail. I've tried it without God, and I've obeyed God. It's just better to obey. It's easier. My life is easier because of it. Because he's faithful to do his part. You know, God's smart. We're not learning anything outside of him. You understand what I'm saying? We're not educating God. He educates us. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about worship. I'm yielding myself to his authority over me. I'm yielding myself to his kingship, his lordship over my life. He's God, I'm not. What does that mean? Lord, you are God. I worship. I yield myself to you. I bow to you. And so we're talking about worship, even in the littlest things, like how you discipline and talk to your kids. It's all in the Bible. And it's all balanced. It's all there, you know. And it's just, like I saw this thing on Facebook. You've probably seen it too. I don't normally preach Facebook, but this will work. it says something to the effect of, my parents spanked me when growing up. So now I suffer from a disease called respect of others. I have respect for authority. That's the disease I suffer from. I was so warped that I came out, and people don't have to worry about me lying to them. They don't have to worry about me coming out and stealing from them. If you left $1 million in cash underneath a chair here, and you said... And you just forgot about it. Say you left it in a suitcase and we found it and opened it up. I would not look at it and go, oh, God has supplied the money for the church. I would find you and give it back. Listen, I've gone through the drive-thru at Wendy's, handed them a 10, and they gave me change like I had handed them 100 or like I had handed them a 20. And I said, whoa, wait. I gave you a 10. Oh, sorry. You know, most people would be like, finally. It's the Lord blessing me. No, it's not. He may be testing you, but he ain't blessing you. God's not a thief. But what I'm saying is that in this is what you said. What are those things? Acts of worship. Worship is not just a slow song. And we're going to worship now. Slow the music down. No. Worship is laying down your life for the principles and the way that God has to do things. And when you do that, then God opens up and blesses your life because then you give him access. I don't know about you, but again, with my kids, I don't bless my kids for disobeying me. They get disciplined. Now, that doesn't mean I kick them out of the house. That doesn't mean I stop feeding them. You understand what I'm saying? They still have access to the basics, but if they want extra blessing, if they want more freedom, more openness to be able to do kind of the things that they want to do, then they're going to have to prove themselves to be disciplined and ordered and not worshipful, but submissive to what their parents are asking them to do. And so that's all in worship. And so we see that principle of worship here in humbling yourself, in surrendering yourself to God, in being willing to be made low before the Lord, and he will exalt you. In other words, move your heart closer to God and he will come closer to you. And what we looked at was the word worship. And the word worship in the Hebrew is shakah, is how you pronounce it. And what it just means is to bow yourself down, to crouch or to fall down flat. It means to humbly beseech. It means to do reverence or to make to stoop. That's what it means. So what does that look like? You're stooping down. It would be as if we had one person standing next to me, if I was going to stoop to them or if I was going to bow to them, I would kneel down lower than them. And in me doing that, what I'm saying is I'm going to submit to what you want to do right now. And so that is what God is asking us to do in worship. Now that worship comes, I mean, there's a lot of different things in the scripture, and we won't be able to go over all the things on worship, but I just want to get you pointed in the right direction and kind of let you go on it. You know what I mean? Study, look, dig, find out, read your Bible. And here's the thing. The more you see, the more you'll be able to practice it in day-to-day life, because worship is not just me choosing to praise God when the song is right or when I feel it, but it's me choosing to praise God when I'm at work. And that doesn't mean I run around at work and I'm yelling, you know, oh, glory to God, you know, and stuff like that. Now, I've done that before. You say, you're nuts. I know. I know. But listen, God's done so much for me. And have you ever read through the Gospels and look how the people responded to Jesus? And the way they reacted, there was something inside of, they had such an encounter with God and with the Son of God that it developed a response out of them. And so that's one of the things we're going to see in this church. And it's not going to just remain inside the walls. You know what I mean? It's not going to remain inside the walls, because see, what will happen is you can learn about it inside the walls, but then you can take it to somebody else. When you have way less depressed days and way more happy days, people wonder why. They're like, you know, they're like, what's that person, you know? What's wrong with them? Nothing, that's the thing. I got Jesus. It's not that we don't have trials, but we got Jesus, so we know we're all right. We got God on our side. Now, you think about that, and you begin to meditate that direction, you'll see that's bowing down. That's lowering yourself below what maybe you think and exalting what God says above what you think, and you're worshiping God in that. You see what I'm saying? That worship is not just during the service when we sing songs. You're bringing this into your life. How about this? This is something that I work on and I'm getting better at. I'm overcoming. Just practicing patience when your kids keep doing the wrong thing. That's worship to God. You say, how is that? Because you're choosing not to react how you feel. You're choosing to react out of who God says you are, according to Galatians 5. You're worshiping God. You're saying, God, you know what? You're king. I feel this way and I'm thinking these thoughts, but you know what? Your word says this, so I'm going to obey your word instead of what I feel right now. I'm going to obey. I'm going to submit to what your word says, and I'm going to do that. And in doing that, you are worshiping God. Now, let me prove it to you. And so we looked at Abraham last week and how he offered Isaac and how God had said to him, now I know you love me because you didn't withhold your son, which was awesome and powerful. But let's go to look at one more, and then we'll get into the second part of it here. But go to Matthew chapter 26, I think. Matthew chapter 26. And verse number 36. Now this is an account of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And I want you to see this and see if you can't see bowing down or submitting to God's will here. See if you can't see where worship is, okay? Verse 36 says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. In other words, pray with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. And look what he said, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but what? As you will. What do we see in Jesus right here? We see Jesus worshiping God. What is he choosing to do? He's choosing, he said what? Not the way I want it, but God, the way that you want it. Isn't that interesting? You know, because we think, now see, this proves that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. Right here. Because what is he doing? He is choosing to take his will and say, I'm going to move it over here to God's will. And I'm going to do it this way. And that is what worship is. You are making a decision saying, God, this is not about me. This is not about what I think. You know, Jesus at this point, he realizes that he's going to the cross. He realizes that all the sin of the world is about to converge on him. And you know what his natural mind is thinking? Oh, that doesn't sound good. I don't want to do that. So he says, not my will, but your will, God. Man, that's powerful. He is submitting to God. He is saying, I'm going to lower myself below what I want and exalt your desire, God, above it. And in that, there is going to be, well, eventually we see it, but out of that obedience, what happened? You and I are now able to go to heaven. Now, don't just stop there, okay? Think about this with me. So what can God do through you if you submit your will to him? You say, I don't want to go to the cross. You don't have to. God, that whole thing's done. You don't have, that's not even a question. But yet you live in a world, you have influence with people around you, and God has a will for their life, and in order for that will to be seen, you're going to have to bow your will to his will. Do you see that? You need to submit your will to his will so that he can have access to your life. So then all of a sudden it's, Lord, I'm not going to walk out my will. I'm going to walk out your will now. I had a plan for my life, but you know what? What is it that you want me to do? And that, in essence, is worship. That's what worship is. Now, there's a lot that could go along with that because there are a lot of expressions of worship. But this was, I thought, man, this is such a great, I felt like the Lord was saying, this is such a great example of worship. He's setting aside what he wants. Remember in Genesis 22, last week where we read, Abraham did the exact same thing. He set aside what he would have wanted in preserving Isaac and said, I'm willing to lay him down for you, Lord. And if you want to look at another scripture later on, maybe just jot it down. I'm not going to go there because we don't have time. But go look at Luke 14, 25 through 26, and then even Matthew 10, 37 through 39. And you'll see more principles of worship where God talks about, listen, Jesus says, if you don't love me more than you love your own kids, you're not worthy of me. Now listen to me. God is not telling anybody, because he talks about mothers and fathers and all that in there. God is not telling anybody to hate mothers and fathers and all that stuff. The word hate might be in your Bible, but what it actually means is love less. In other words, there should be a greater honor and respect and submission to God in your heart, a greater place in your life and in your heart than anybody else. Your husband, your wife, your kids, anybody. It doesn't make a difference who they are. Do they rank higher than God? Now, I feel this because people are challenged on this. Like, but I really love my family. God is not telling you not to love your family. Okay? But who is God? Who is God? Is your family God? It's challenging, isn't it? I feel it in myself. But wait a minute. I believe Jesus and I believe God. Now, is God going to ask me to do something to destroy my family? No. That's not the point. The point is that he wants to know that he has that place. And people are like, do I have to make the decision now? Well, I'm not asking you to make the decision right now, okay? But what you need to do is look at those scriptures and allow them to minister to you so that you can go, Lord, this is what I desire, so I know with your help and your grace I can do this. There are times in my own life where I've had to make decisions that was apart from family, and they didn't understand it. Okay. They didn't save me. I'm thankful for them. But you realize we only have so many breaths on the planet, and then we're out? I remember sitting in sixth grade going, man, I wish school was over. And now I'm 38. Yeah, sixth grade's over. Barely made it through. Okay? But you understand what I'm saying? Time can move quick. When you're young and when you're a teenager, it's like, oh, it's going to take forever. Is the church service over yet? But as you get older, it's like, really? I'm going to be 40 in a couple years? You know what I mean? It just goes faster. Everything goes faster. And that's okay. That doesn't bother me because I'm not ending here. My body may go back to dust, but I'm going on forever. Death is not a period. It's a comma in the sentence of life. You say, they died. Well, their body fell off. They either went up or down, one or the other. Their body fell off. It's interesting because if you study some of that stuff, and I'm a Bible geek, so I study all this stuff, but if you study some of it, literally spirit, soul, and body, but literally spirit and body is like a knife or a sword inside of a sheath or inside of a holster. Your body is the holster. Who you are is inside. That's the part of you that's saved. So, anyway, that's a side note for somebody. had nothing to do with worship, but it's true nonetheless. So, let's start today in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, and we'll wrap this up. And my first point here on why is worshiping God so important is because I'm reading two words at once. God commanded us to worship him. Slow down, McFarland, slow down. All right, Matthew chapter 4. All right, Matthew chapter 4, God commanded us to worship him. Why should we worship? Why is worshiping God so important? Number one, God commanded us to worship him. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10. Let's go there. This is the temptation of Jesus, but he quotes a scripture here that I want to look at. Verse number 10 says this. Then Jesus said to Satan, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and what? And him only shall you serve." Who should you worship alone? God. Why? Why should we worship God? Why is this so? God commanded us to worship him alone, okay? So we need to worship God alone. It's interesting, but it says, "Thou shalt," and he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:13 there, Jesus is. But he says this, and in one of the commentaries I read, it says this, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve," and that's the King James. But it says this, Satan had said nothing about service, but Jesus knew whatever we worship, we will serve. We will serve it. Whatever we worship, we will serve. Worship and service must go together. Christ defeated Satan with Deuteronomy 6:13. Whatever we worship is the God we serve. If a person worships money, he or she lives for money and obeys it. If we worship God, we live for God and obey him. We cannot do both. One day in the future, Satan will hand over the kingdom, the kingdoms of the Antichrist, but Christ will come to take these kingdoms and set up his own kingdom for 1,000 years. Then everybody will worship God. The nice thing about where we're at right now as far as end times, is that you have an opportunity to make a choice to serve God. The not so nice thing that will happen after Jesus returns is that you no longer get to choose. You are going to do it. You say, does that mean everybody will be saved? No, because the Bible clearly teaches that they won't. But right now is the opportunity to help people worship God. You realize you giving your life to Jesus was worship? Because what were you doing? You were saying, God, you're right. I'm not. I bow to you. God, you're right. I'm not. And that is the essence of worship. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14 says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." He's a jealous God. People think, I knew a jealous person, I didn't like him. God's not out of control jealous. Whenever you think of God, let me help you with something. Whenever you think of God or you read through the Old Testament and it says the wrath of God or things like that, don't just think like God went into a blind rage. God is never out of control. Ever. And prior to any judgment of God, he has done everything he possibly can to get that person to come into line with what he wants for their life. Okay? But God will not override free will. You have a choice. You have free will. So, worship God alone. Don't worship any other gods. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 14, and you can just write these down. You don't have to try and turn there because it can be difficult to try and turn to all of them, but jot them down and look at them later. But it says this, or listen to them online later, you can. Deuteronomy 4:14, it says, "The Lord directed me at that time to teach you decrees and laws." This is Moses speaking to the people. "Decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. You saw no form," now listen closely, "no form of any kind that day when the Lord spoke to you at Mount Oreb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman." So you could worship a man or a woman, even if it wasn't just a metal thing sitting on your fireplace mantle. You could worship a man or woman that's walking around. You guys are familiar with Hollywood, right? And musicians. There are people that absolutely faint when a certain musician comes. Are you kidding me? I mean, seriously. You got another thing coming. If I'm going to, like, Brad Pitt's in town. So what? Does he... I share Jesus with them. But what people do is they give a place of their life where only God should sit. "Well, I just have to watch this show. Every week I have to watch this show." Well, what if the Lord doesn't want you to watch it? "Well, that's my favorite show." You know, go into cold sweats. "I can't watch the show. We got to get a DVR. If I can't watch it that day, I got to record it." It's not going to change your life if you miss that show. Amen? Because God wants that place of total. And it's not like he's up in heaven, like insecure. You know what I mean? Like, "Why aren't the people worshiping me? Jesus, come here." "The people aren't worshiping me." He's not insecure. He's God. He's steady. He knows where he's going. He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows where this is all headed. His love is so intense that he's doing everything he can to get you to go with him. That's what he wants. That's what he's after. It's everything to him. You are everything to him. So he says this, and he talks about this. He says, be careful. Don't make an idol in the shape of a man or a woman. Or listen closely, or like any animal on earth, or any kind of bird that flies in the air. Or like any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the waters below. You understand, God knew, I'm going to make this creation and people are going to try and worship it. So what is he doing? He's saying, look, he's covering all the bases. I don't care how high you look in the sky, and I don't care how deep you go into the sea. None of that is God. So he just covers it all. Okay? He's smart. "And when you look up to the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things that the Lord your God has apportioned to all nations under heaven." What do you mean he apportioned? The only reason why he gave you that was so you could look at it and go, "Thank you, Lord. You gave me the sun." You read this, and people go, "Yeah, those people in the Old Testament." No, no, no. Have you heard of the environmentalists of today? Hello. "Well, you're worth nothing. Actually, I'm worth the blood of Jesus. Don't tell me I'm worth nothing. I'm worth more than every fiber, every dirt particle that is on this planet." Because, see, it was all created for who? Adam and Eve, for us. You see that? You say, you got too intense on that. I know. Listen to me. It's just important because what it is I feel God's heart. He's going, look, they're worshiping the creation, and I hold the creation like this. If you look at the creation and go, next time you deal with somebody like that, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you're like that. I don't know. But think about this. If the creation is so amazing, how amazing is the Creator? That's what we have to think about. Because that's where we want to place our worship. Man, I don't think we should try and destroy the planet. I like it. Now, we're going to get a new one when Jesus returns. But listen, I don't think we should try and pollute it out. I agree. Look, if there's a more efficient and clean way to do it, fine. But let's not worship that. Who would give you a more efficient, clean way to do it anyway? God. Hello. He's not like, it's the garbage pile earth. The only reason it's in the condition it is in is because Satan got in. And we sold out to him. If anything is improving, see, what happens is Satan knows that there's a desire, and it's a God-given desire in man to have things organized and in order. And life and growing. They don't even realize that God is what is stirring in them in that. But what they're doing is Satan deceives them and says, yeah, look at how big this planet and how small you are. And we evolved. Yeah, evolution makes sense. It really does. So how did it start? Well, there was maybe a gravitational explosion pull of the... We don't know, but we know. I was talking to a lady one time when she said, well, I believe that God started it all and then it evolved from there. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in the garden going, ugh. Come on, think about it. How many were public schooled? Okay, I was. I was taught evolution. Can you imagine Cro-Magnon man? You know, walking up to God, and God, this genius God, and there's this guy dragging his knuckles, walking up to God. He's got a big, thick forehead, you know, big skull, club in his hand, dragging Eve behind him, you know, by her hair, you know what I mean? I mean, come on, man. We haven't evolved. We've devolved. We have not. It's gone backwards. Of course it's worse than it was. Why do you think people have such a desire for it to be the other way? It's because that's the way it was meant to be by God. And listen to me, it will be. It will be again. We don't have to worry about it. We're going to make it, we're going to save the planet. You don't have to, Jesus did. It's done. Now we can be smart. You know, I don't think we should see how many things we can pollute. Do you know, it's interesting on the history of some of these things. And I learned some of this from the PBS channel, watching PBS. Now, I don't agree with everything on PBS. You'll figure that out. But the original guys that wanted to have like national parks and stuff like that, they read two things. One of them was the Bible. The other was about nature and different things like that. In other words, they had it in their heart by God. Hey, listen, we could destroy this thing. We better be a little more careful. But what has happened is the enemy gets in. And it becomes worship of things rather than worship of God. You see that? And so he's warning them here. Listen, don't do that. Secondly, so the first was worship God because he commanded us. Secondly, it shows God he is first place in our life when we worship him. Deuteronomy 26:10 says, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given to me. You see that? He's bringing something back to God. Why? Because God gave it to him. He said, then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So it shows that God is first place. You then acknowledge that God is the one that provided it for you. And then in faith, you bring it back to him. And say, God, you're going to provide for me again because you're the one that gave it to me in the first place. So giving back to God, worshiping God, it shows that you are what? That he is first place in your life. Thirdly, it keeps you from being deceived and cursed. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me put it to you like this. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 30. It says this, do not fall into the trap of following this other nations' customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods. You know, people, there's a big push. Well, we need to know all religions. No, you don't. No, you don't. Well, we need to include everybody. We need to love everybody. But that doesn't mean we take all their goofiness. You understand what I'm saying? And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, just keep reading. He says, do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. You must not worship the Lord your God the way that other nations worship their gods, for they perform for their gods every detestable act that the Lord, what? Hates. Hates? Yeah, because watch, look why. It says, they even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. Now think about this. He says, so be careful to obey the commands that I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. Isn't that interesting? What is it that opened up the hearts of these people to begin to burn their sons and daughters alive? What was it? Was it worship of God? Nope. It was worship of false gods. See, what we don't realize is, and I would give you this example, but what we don't realize is that whatever we worship, we open ourselves up to. Worship is like having a shut door. Like if these two doors back here, they're shut, right? If one side said demons and the other side said Jesus. Whatever I worship, I walk up to and open. Well, we need to be open-minded. No, we don't. Some people are so open-minded, their brains fell out. We don't need to be open. Well, we need to accept. There are many ways to God. There are not. There is one. Through Jesus Christ. That is it. You say, that's narrow. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Well, what about all these other people? Let's pray for them and love them and show the goodness of God to them. How many of you think God can outdo theirs? See, a lot of times we feel like we have to do it in our own power, and really what it boils down to is we're not using our faith. No, you don't have to prove that your God is bigger. God doesn't, he can do it. You remember in the Old Testament where Elijah and the prophets of Baal went up on the Mount Carmel? That sounds like a nice mount. Mount Carmel. But they had sacrifices up there, and whosoever God answered by fire was God. Ours answers by fire. Some of you are like, I don't know where that is. Go dig. Go dig. It's in there. Elijah called down fire from heaven. God answered by fire. And basically, everybody knew that day, God is God and Baal is not. Well, the world's getting worse. Yeah, but everybody's going to know God is God. And the rest, they're not. There'll be no question when it's all said and done. Because the scripture teaches us that. So they were offering their sons and daughters. I heard this, or I read this. It says, the British essayist Samuel Johnson called curiosity one of the permanent and certain characteristics of a vigorous intellect. And certainly our children and grandchildren learn because they're curious about life and the world they live in. Someone defined a child as an island of curiosity surrounded by a sea of question marks. But listen, however, there are some areas of human knowledge that are dangerous to investigate. For God wants his people to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. That's what God desires. Amen? But one more thing. So, we are to what? We are to keep. It keeps God, it keeps you from being deceived and cursed. Worship does. It also is an act of your faith and gives you access and gives God access to your life. If you want to read a scripture on that, go to Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 35. You can read it later. I don't have time to go into it this morning. But it is an act of faith and gives God access to your life. And then lastly, it keeps us God focused. Focused on his goodness and his promises. Worship keeps us focused on God and his promises. And you can read in Psalms 97. You can read about that there. Worship, guys, it's about submitting your life to God and giving him that place. Oh, Lord, I'm going to let you make the decisions. I'm going to let you lead me. I'm going to let your word speak to me, and I'm going to choose to sit down below what you say and follow your lead. I'm going to say with Jesus, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, so I'm going to have you say some things after me, and just say them from your heart, okay? Say them from your heart, mean them from your heart, and we'll believe God to take that he's going to give us ability and strength to allow him to lead. This week, let's purpose to allow God to lead, and we will purpose in that to worship him. So, Father, we just come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we're so thankful that you love us so much. Lord, your love for us is not in question. We are your children. We are your, you sent your only son to pay the price for us. So we know you love us. So first of all, Lord, we receive that. We are open to that love and experiencing greater and greater levels of that love. And so we're so thankful for the blood and body of Jesus Christ. But Father, we have a desire inside of us as we look into your word to obey that word and allow this place of worship to be in our lives where you are first place, where you are the God who rules every area of our lives. From the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, Lord, we want to be a vessel that is open and worshipful towards you. So you can just repeat after me this morning. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to worship you. Holy Spirit, help me. Teach me. Show me areas where I can begin to give Jesus lordship of my life. I want to worship you, God, with everything in me. And I will, by your grace. I know you're merciful. So when I make a mistake, I know you forgive me. And I receive it. I receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. And I'll get up, and I'll not quit. And by the grace of God, I'll be a better worshiper this time next year than I am today. So Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.